Chapter 26. Dinner was good, though, I could not remember what I ate. For a change, there were no stains on my uniform to clue me in about the menu. Some kind of pasta? No, then there definitely would have been spots on my uniform top. Whatever. Dinner was good. That's all I remember. So, the food wasn't the cause of my upset stomach. I used to have a cast-iron stomach. I could eat anything and nothing bothered me. That is a useful trait to have in the military, especially in the Army. Navy crew aboard a ship eat 3 hot meals a day served in the same galley. At least crews in the UN Navy do that. In the Army, you can go from eating in a dining hall to chowing down on MREs in the field and back again several times in a week. Or you're in the field and skip a meal or two. Plus, in the field, you're drinking water from multiple sources, purified in different ways. The varied diet can cause havoc on your stomach. During the years I spent aboard starships, I ate a good, balanced diet. Except for those times when I had to live on sludges. Yuck. Also, I slept in a bed every night, pretty much. Back when I left command of Valkyrie, UNEF had sent me on a publicity tour around the galaxy, and my insides were not happy. Traveling did not agree with me. We would arrive at a planet where the middle of the day at the meeting location was the middle of the night for me, and I would be eating strange food and sleeping in a strange bed, often a bed that wasn't designed for humans. Let's just say my stomach was very unhappy. Living on Jaguar, being a garrison commander with a relatively stable schedule, had been good for me, and my tummy thanked me. There wasn't anything wrong with being back aboard Valkyrie, although it was odd being in the ship's VIP cabin where the layout was a mirror image of my old cabin, like the bathroom door was where the main door used to be. Only once did I stumble to the bathroom at night in my underwear, only to have the door slide open to a passageway with people staring in shock at me. After that, I kept a nightlight on in the bathroom. The problem wasn't unfamiliar food, or a different bed, or sleeping without the comforting presence of my wife. The problem wasn't even a horrible threat that could be the end of everything. I mean, I had been through way too many threats like that before. Moon Raider might have one sentinel. We had been faced with the threat of multiple, or even all of the Elder killing machines waking up before. We had even fought Elder AIs before. So what was different this time? Me. Joe Bishop. I had been out of the game for a while. We all had. Yeah, the UN's Expeditionary Force or Defense Command had dealt with a constant string of irritating and troubling issues, but no actual threats to our existence until now. The other difference is I am not as young as I used to be. When I look back at my time in command of the Flying Dutchman, or even when I was planting potatoes on Paradise, I was so damned young. I've put a lot of mileage on my body since then. My brain still held the partially dissolved remains of deactivated quasheens that Skippy planted there a long time ago, tiny nanomachines that he used to save my life. I mean, he saved my life after he bailed on me, so we're kind of even in that regard. Those quasheens couldn't be removed. They would be with me forever. And according to Skippy, they probably would not cause any problems. Probably. He could only give me a tin-plated shmaybe about that, since he had not actually used quasheens inside the brain of a human before. Especially not use them as a freaking radio. So it will not shock you that I didn't sleep well that night. The next morning, with no fresh ideas having popped into my head while I had struggled to sleep, I ordered the task force to begin jumping for Jaguar Base. Reed asked if us going there was part of a master plan for defeating Moon Raider. It wasn't. It was the beginning of my plan to persuade the United Nations to abandon our forward operating base. When we got back to Jaguar, again, I met with Admiral Chanda. He was having a good day, because 8 hours before Valkyrie got there, a star carrier arrived from Earth with news that Bubba had stopped an attempted Maxalt's attack, and that the Navy's spare parts problem was temporarily solved. After a string of bad news about someone trying to steal a Sentinel, then a raid against Moonbase Zulu, and the revelation that another Elder AI was active and hostile, it was party time, right? Yes. Until I warned him that we suspected the enemy would soon attempt to wake up and harness a sentinel. Joe Bishop is a buzz killer. I released the destroyer squadrons and star carriers from the special mission group. Chandra intended to send them back to Earth, along with a squadron of cruisers that were overdue for rotation. Valkyrie would be going to Earth to bring the bad news, and for me to recommend drastic action to prepare for our enemy having a sentinel. I told Chandra that I would be recommending we abandon Jaguar. That was not a fun conversation. He understood my reasoning and agreed that I needed to brief the governor and the new garrison commander, and then the joint chiefs. But first, I needed to talk with my wife and see our kids, and my parents, and my sister's family. It was a Saturday. My father wanted to host a cookout for the whole family, so my dropship landed near their house. Margaret sensed I was worried about something, more worried than usual. She suggested we go for a walk. It had rained heavily the night before, so we stuck to the path that led to what my father called their kitchen garden, meaning the vegetables grown there were for my parents, not for sale. Although they had so many cucumbers, my entire family couldn't eat them all. "What's wrong?" Margaret asked as I picked a cherry tomato and popped it into my mouth.
"You mean this time or overall?"
"The galaxy is a shit show and always will be."
She tried to force a smile and it didn't work.
"An elder AI is loose out there. Is that the problem? Or is it some new horror?"
"Skippy thinks the other AI is trying to wake up its own sentinel."
"That... it can do that?"
"Apparently, yeah." It occurred to me then that I hadn't asked Skippy exactly how Moon Raider would do that. That is a question I definitely should have asked. Was I slipping, or had I been out of the game for too long? We'll try to stop it, but the enemy has more options for contacting a sentinel than we have the bandwidth to cover.
"If the UN Navy doesn't have enough ships, could we ask the spiders to..."
"Sorry." She touched my shoulder.
"I was trying to do your job for you."
"No, it's okay. From here, I'm going to Earth. Honey, I intend to talk with the Joint Chiefs and recommend we abandon Jaguar." She blinked. Not a lot surprised her, but that did. Then she nodded.
"So Pup-Tart doesn't have to guard this world and it can go out hunting for the other sentinel?"
"Yeah, that's the idea."
"Can it do that? Fight another sentinel?"
"Sentinels fought on both sides during the AI war," Skippy said. "It won't be easy, and Skippy will have to accompany a sentinel into battle. A sentinel is not a fire-and-forget weapon. It has to be directed to attack each target. That's why they went dormant again after the kitties and spiders both used elder weapons in their war. The sentinels were alerted by signals from the wormhole networks, but back then there were no master control AIs like Skippy to tell them what to do. Sentinels are not great at autonomous action. That's probably a good thing."
"That is definitely a good thing." "Abandon this base," she spoke to herself.
"Not just the base, the entire planet. There are 4 times as many civilians here than military personnel. Originally, the civilians on Jaguar were contractors to support the military presence. Then most of the contractors decided to stay after their contracts expired. Jaguar was safe. There was no Jupiter cloud freezing the planet and no threat of raids by alien warships. The contractors sent for their families and the population grew. More people meant a need for more food, more services, and civilians came from Earth to fill those needs. At first, civilians hitched rides on military transport ships as space was available. Later, a cruise ship company on Earth partnered with the Jarraptha to provide civilian transport ships, with the Jarraptha flying the ships and, of course, running the all-important casino on board.
It won't be easy persuading civilians to leave everything they've built here.
It will be easier when they look up and don't see Pup-Tart hanging above their heads to protect them. Honey, the tough part will be telling your parents they should leave.
You got that right.
I can help.
No, this is my responsibility.
I meant I can help by announcing that we are moving back to Earth. Me and the boys and...
She patted her tummy.
That is what you want. Going to Earth. Not moving out to Avalon.
I hadn't thought of Avalon. No, we can't go there. In the last message I got from Jennifer, she said the biosphere is still a mess. It's too fragile to handle a major increase in population. That Alpha Site world was humanity's first attempt at terraforming, modifying a planet's climate, biology, and other factors to make the surface habitable for humans. Not only habitable, it eventually had to be comfortable, or no one would want to move there. According to her husband Frank, the scientists on Avalon were learning a lot every day. Unfortunately, the major lesson they had learned so far was that terraforming was not easy, and humanity sucked at it.
After Earth and then Jaguar got Sentinel protectors, the sense of urgency to establish a functioning Alpha site faded, and there was less enthusiasm for spending a lot of money on a world that was constantly fighting a battle against out-of-control fungus, slime molds, and any other life forms that hadn't gotten the memo they were supposed to be helping to make Avalon into a paradise for humans. Good. Going to Avalon would feel like running away. I smiled. More like running from one set of problems to another. How do you want to do this? To break the news to your parents? After dinner. Let's have a nice, normal family dinner. Then I'll ask my father to show me. I waved a hand toward the fields stretching to the south. Their new irrigation project, something like that. Are you afraid to tell your mother she has to leave all this? Nah, it's just my father knows how to talk to her better than I do. I'll tell him first. What's the timeline for moving?
Less than 2 months.
A civilian would have protested at the impossible schedule. Margaret just nodded. To a Marine, a move-out notice of more than 2 hours was a luxury. Then I had better start packing.
Not yet.
Joe. She stopped walking and looked me in the eye. If Valkyrie is going to Earth today, I want to be on that ship. With the boys and my mother. It's better for me to move before, she patted her stomach again, our daughter is born.
I can see that.
We eat dinner, go to the house, get a few things, and we're out of here.
Okay, but let's not tell my parents and your mother anything, not tonight. I just want a nice, normal family dinner. Can we do that?
That would be great.
It was my fault. As a snack before dinner, the boys wanted popcorn, which would have been easy since my parents had a microwave, but they did not have any handy ready-made bags of popcorn. Snack foods were generally way too expensive to ship all the way from Earth. They had popping corn that came from one of my parents' farms. The point is, they didn't have to buy dried corn. My father stored it in a big container. My choices for making popcorn were to do it the old-fashioned way in a pot with oil on the bottom, or the lazy way, and I usually vote for lazy. Hey, I'm in the army. I have to do a lot of stuff where lazy isn't an option. So I dumped dried corn in a bowl, coated it with olive oil, shook the bowl to get the kernels all coated with oil, and sprinkled on salt. Then the corn went into a regular small brown paper bag, the kind you use for lunches, as if anyone still puts their lunch in a paper bag. The trouble was I reached into a drawer to get a paper bag. I had pulled out the first one my hand touched. It went into the microwave filled with unpopped corn, and I walked over to the fridge to get iced tea. The boys squealed and clapped their hands. Uh-oh. The bag in the microwave was shooting off sparks, and then the bag caught fire. Juggling the pitcher of iced tea, I briefly debated whether to tuck it under one arm, then took a half second to set it on the counter. Yanking open the microwave door ended the sparks, but the paper bag was on fire. I got hold of the back end of the bag as far from the flames as I could get a grip on. That worked great until the flames shot up when I was halfway to the sink. The bag soared through the air to hit the edge of the sink where the unpopped corn bounced all over the sink, the counter, and the floor. Charred pieces of paper floated everywhere while the boys cheered and raced around, snatching sooty, burned flakes from the air. Of course, this is when Margaret ran into the kitchen.
What is going on?
Nothing. A flake of charred paper landed on her nose.
This doesn't look like nothing.
This paper bag, I nudged the burnt remains in the sink, has a stupid wire around the opening that I didn't know about.
Your father gave us some of those bags, remember? They bought too many of them for ripening apples or something like that.
Daddy!
Jeremy clapped his hands.
Do it again! Do it again! Yeah, Daddy!
Renee agreed. That was not...
Well, I guess I could.
Margaret rolled her eyes.
I can't believe you are even thinking about this.
Well, it's educational, I argued. They should know not to put metal in a microwave.
Uh-huh. Educational and not because you like blowing things up.
It didn't explode. She frowned at me, then at our eagerly waiting boys.
Honey, is this a man thing? What is wrong with men?
Wait. Are you... I reached out for the back of a chair, breathing deeply and pretending my legs were shaky. Are you asking me to mansplain how men think? This is, I took another breath, the greatest moment of my life.
You are such an idiot, she said with a scowl, but her eyes twinkled. Seriously, any time you need some quality mansplaining, all you have to do is ask.
I will make a note of that.
I did make popcorn after tearing the metal wire off a second bag. We did not conduct a science experiment. Why not? My wife reminded me that the two little humans who live with us are my sons, meaning it is 100% certain they would put various metal objects in the microwave to see them make sparks and possibly burn down the house. Not that I ever did something like that when I was their age. Well, not more than once. After the popcorn disaster, my father asked me to make biscuits. That is something I had done for family breakfasts and dinners since I was little. It was a relatively simple task, and my parents had a rule that everyone helped with either cooking or cleaning up. The biscuits needed all-purpose flour, baking powder, a pinch of salt, milk, and shortening. My family uses shortening instead of butter because while butter contains fat, it also is made of milk solids and water. Don't hate on butter. It is pure goodness. Just not the best for crumbly, flaky biscuits. The first issue was I had no idea where my parents kept anything in their kitchen, so my dad showed me the pantry and I figured it out by myself from there. There was not enough flour in the canister. I used up what was in there and went back to the pantry to get a bag of flour. No, not bread flour. That contains too much gluten. Bread flour is great for bread or pizza dough, anything that is not supposed to crumble like a good biscuit. After finding the right kind of flour, I opened the tin of baking powder. Almost empty. Back to the pantry again. And that time I also got a fresh stick of shortening, since the one my father got out wasn't enough. Carrying the ingredients to the kitchen counter, I set everything down and started sifting the flour. After four turns of the sifter handle, the thing snapped. Ruh-roh. My mother had been given that ancient sifter from her grandmother, and now I had broken it. Looking at the piece that had snapped, I could see it had already almost been worn through. It was just a matter of time before the thing failed, and I had been the unlucky one to be using it when it did. Did the flour really need to be sifted? Probably not, but I didn't want to change the recipe right then, so I used a wooden spoon to stir the flour in the sifter and shook the thing over a bowl. Skippy spoke in my ear. Making biscuits looks simple, Joe. Why is it taking you so long? The stupid sifter failed after processing less than half of the flour, so I'm trying... This isn't working. I dumped the rest of the flour into the bowl. The thing failed after... Huh. What? If you're going to tell me how to make biscuits, that... Shut up, will you? I'm thinking. Okay. I knew that tone of voice. He was worried about something. Crap, all I wanted was a nice family dinner. If you're thinking of something bad, can it wait until... Gotta go now, bye. What the hell, I wondered, was that about? Son? My father noticed I was standing at the kitchen counter. Is everything okay? Yeah, I... Shaking my head to clear my thoughts, I flashed a thumbs up. It's good to be doing something normal again. Instead of saving the world. There wasn't any point to mentioning that the entire galaxy was threatened by a hostile elder AI. Something like that. While my father went out to baste the chicken on the grill, I mixed up the dry ingredients and turned on the oven. Joe!
Skippy, what?
We need to talk, now.
Now?
Well, I need to... The biscuits will take only 10 minutes to bake, and your boys have to wash their hands before they eat anyway, because they have been playing in a mud puddle.
Does Margaret know they did that?
No, her mother is with them.
Oh, okay. Listen, what is going on with... You are not going to clean up your filthy sons?
I'll get to it.
It sounds to me like you're making their grandmother do all the work.
She has more experience than I do. You won't get experience with raising children if you are always racing around the galaxy and not Skippy.
I'm going out front and we can talk. Stepping out the front door, I walked behind my mother's car.
What is so important? You're working on something?
Yes, it's kind of embarrassing.
I'm kind of afraid to tell you.
More embarrassing than some of the stuff you already know I did?
That is a good point. Joe, I am concerned that if I tell you what I know, you will no longer look at me as a godlike, infallible being.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, so I hate you so much. Just tell me, please. I need to make biscuits.
Well, if biscuits are more important than the fate of the galaxy, then tell me.
Well, this will shock you, but I might have told you something before I actually verified 100% that it is true. I am shocked.
Oh, shut up. I made a reasonable assumption. It was only after you mentioned that your kitchen thing broke before it sifted all the flour that I realized I hadn't actually modeled how Moon Raider will create radonium and process it into a useful grade.
Okay, so? So, while you were in the kitchen pretending to be a master chef, I was busy doing something useful.
You ran a model to discover how Moon Raider will use the Space Dog's fabricators to make funky matter?
Exotic matter is not funky, you ignorant cretin. It is manufactured subatomic particles that have their interactive properties tweaked so they are affected either more or less than normal by gravity, by the strong and weak nuclear forces, or, yes, I know what it is, artificial matter, fake matter. Like you can make iron atoms that have a mass less than 10% of ordinary iron atoms and stuff like that. You don't know what it is because your tiny monkey brain can't comprehend I am a dumb monkey, blah, blah, blah. Why should I care about your fancy model?
My original assumption was totally valid based on an Elder Space Dock's fabricators being in a normal condition. But after the Star Team Alpha conducted an assault to secure that space dock for us, I very thoroughly scanned the entire structure. The fabricators from Trips' space dock are worn out. They were damaged during the AI war, and Trips basically burned them out while attempting to repair its ship.
Why are you telling me this? I discovered those fabricators Moon Raider took from the space dock will fail before they produce enough radonium to construct the minimum number of transmitters.
Okay. That sounds good. That sounds great.
Well, I have a question. You think Moon Raider has access to some technology more advanced than what you can do?
Yes, and in some cases, the technology has demonstrated is even beyond my understanding. Thank you so much for reminding me of my inadequacy. People love to hear that sort of thing.
My point is, could its advanced technology allow it to contact a Sentinel while using fewer transmitters?
No. Before you ask whether I am sure about that, I am. It is just basic cross-dimensional physics. That is well understood and can't be changed.
Okay, next question. Where else can it get radonium?
It can't.
I pumped a fist.
It can't?
No.
No?
You scared the shit out of me for nothing. Moon Raider can't wake up a freaking Sentinel because it lacks the... I said it can't get the material. I did not say it couldn't make it.
You just told me the fabricators can't... Those fabricators are not capable of handling the job.
There are many exotic matter production facilities throughout the galaxy, the most sophisticated of which are owned by the two senior species. A set of Elder fabricators is the best choice for making radonium, but not the only option. Actually, if Moon Raider had access to a major exotic matter facility, it could produce the required amount of radonium faster just because of the sheer volume one of those facilities can handle.
Skippy, you told me that Moon Raider can't use the fabricators it took from Trips, and you think that is good news?
Well, yes, duh. How could...
Now we somehow have to stop it from gaining access to, what, hundreds of factories across the galaxy?
That's impossible. It could be taking control of a factory right now.
Yes, it will likely look for an alternate facility. Once it realizes the fabricators it has won't work. But I expect Moon Raider could waste several weeks or even months before it discovers the process it uses will never result in a usable form of high-grade radonium.
You think Moon Raider is stupid?
No more stupid than I am.
I keep forgetting. You weren't part of the project.
Man, you dodged a bullet there. That was so tedious. Ponderously tedious. It took me over a year and a half, 19 months in slow monkey time. An eternity for me. I was contemplating the sweet release of death and Skippy.
19 months to do what?
To get the formulation right. The radonium I created had the required properties, but the particles were too fragile. Exposure to even low-level cosmic radiation caused the exotic atoms to degrade back into their constituent components and then those quickly decayed back into ordinary matter. That was no good. I was extremely discouraged, Joe. At that point, I feared that while constructing transmitters was theoretically possible, it might not actually be practical. It might not actually even be possible. The true obstacle I faced was that type of exotic matter had never been manufactured before.
Not even by Elders?
No, they never had a need for something like that. Anywho, after 19 months, all we had to show for our efforts was 11 stable atoms. 11! The moon base was surrounded by mountains of raw materials we used and discarded in the process. Raw materials extracted from your moon and from the asteroid belt.
We processed millions of tons of raw material, and the result was something you could only see with an electron microscope. Well, I could see it without help, but that's me. It's good to see you have not lost your renowned humbleness. Oh, shut up. I gotta tell you, at that time I was feeling humbled. The entire project was a failure. The only good part was the initial 6-month setup of the project was a cost-plus deal, and I made out like a bandit, he whispered. Then, I got too ambitious. Skip Khan signed a deal to get paid by the gram for exotic materials. Skip Khan? You admitted to Skippy's construction. Duh. What did you think I meant? Nothing. Please, continue. So after 19 months, my company was on the verge of bankruptcy. I was seriously depressed, Joe. It's only money, Skippy. You would feel different if it was your money, numbskull, he snapped. But, you're right. What actually bothered me was filthy monkeys were beginning to question whether I could deliver on my promises. Some French jackass wrote an editorial in Le Monde asking whether my best years were behind me, or even whether all the awesome things I supposedly did were just smoke and mirrors. Some of them were smoke and mirrors. Yes, hee-hee, that proves how incredibly awesome I truly am. Anywho, I was so depressed. One day I forgot to shut down and reset the submind that was running the fabricators. That thing kept grinding away, even though the equipment was seriously out of calibration. It was producing junk. It's a good thing I eventually remembered I hadn't shut it down, or there might have been a disaster. Maybe you shouldn't tell me about times when you were super absent-minded. I already know of too many incidents like that. Oh, shut up. Do you want to hear the story or not? I need to put the biscuits in the oven soon. Fine, he huffed. I'll give you the TLDR version. Huh? Too long didn't read. Don't you know any slang? No wonder your boys think you are the uncoolest dad of all time. My boys do think I'm cool, Skippy. Being cool isn't the important part of fatherhood. That's what uncool dads like you say. After I shut down the submind and contained the runaway cascade effect that was on the razor's edge of destroying the entire... Well, that's not important right now. What is important is I discovered the material created by those out-of-tune fabricators provided a yield that was a trillion times more efficient than my original process. How is that possible? It wasn't! Until I ran the data back and discovered the out-of-tune fabricators had set up a resonance in subspace that insulated the materials from contamination during the critical phase of manufacture. Biscuits need to go in the oven soon, Skippy. Why do I care about any of this? Because no one else knows about my little stroke of luck, Joe. The secret of making pure and enriched radonium with any practical level of efficiency is known only to me. You and the factory submind. Yes, a submind that got squashed, he snorted, when Moonbase Zulu got turned into a smoking crater. That submind is totally destroyed, but could Moonraider have downloaded its memories or something like that? Dude, are you actually proud of your ignorance? Just answer the question. No way. The substrate of that submind wasn't designated to survive a freaking starship falling on it. That submind's memory wasn't duplicated off-site somewhere, like in a cloud network or something. A cloud? You know what I mean. Sure, Joe, I left copies of critical ultra-secret data on the same servers where your cousin Becky stores her Instagram posts. No, you moron. I am the backup. Okay, then. Are you telling me that no one in the galaxy could replicate the process and make enough exotic matter to build transmitters? Unfortunately, he sighed, I am not saying that. Not exactly. While the Maxolks and Rindaloo are basically capable of producing something like the material necessary for constructing interdimensional transmitters, no species in the galaxy currently makes or ever made matter with those specific properties. But if Moonraider had access to a senior species exotic matter production facility, it could simply use brute force to create enough material. In about a year and a half is my estimate. I heard my sister call my name from the front door. Be right there, I shouted back to her. Then, you were telling me that we need to lock down all exotic matter production facilities in the freaking galaxy? That would be wise, yes. Great. Fantastic. What is your fastest estimate for how long until Moonraider gets disgusted with those space dock fabricators and starts looking for an alternative? It depends on how arrogant and stubborn it is. I mean, it knows I was able to create a useful supply of radonium using Elder fabricators. Give me a time estimate, please. Unless it is mind-bogglingly stupid, it should realize the fabricators are part of the problem within 2 to 3 weeks. Joseph, my mother called from the front door. I was in trouble.
Be right there, Mom.
Skippy, I'm going to make biscuits now. You put together a list of those facilities that might be able to produce radonium and we'll talk after dinner, okay?
Sure, if you don't eat yourself into a food coma.
My dad makes great barbecue chicken, Skippy. I can't make any promises. Dinner was nice, and I was actually able to enjoy the food and the company, since I was no longer worried about our enemy acquiring a sentinel in the next 2 months. Probably. Hopefully. Margaret was across the table from me, and we hadn't been able to talk before sitting down, so she kept glancing at me. My better mood was obvious to her. Or so I thought. But my wife knows me too well. She must have figured I was faking. So when dinner was over, and our boys left the table to play with their cousins, Margaret cleared her throat. Everyone, she said as I tried to kick her under the table and missed. Joe and I have something to announce.
No, we don't.
I smiled, but my eyes pleaded with her.
We don't?
No, not now. Too late. My mother set down the brownie she had been eating.
Joseph, just what is going on?
It's nothing. Son, my father also knew me too well, damn it.
With you, it's never nothing.
Okay, it was time to cut my losses. Margaret and I talked about us moving back to Earth, temporarily, before the baby is born. But I held up my hands. There is no need for that and no rush. Margaret's mother must have a built-in bullshit detector.
You think Earth is a safer place to be now that another Elder AI is flying around out there?
It's not. Earth has two sentinels, she pressed the issue, and a set of guardians, and the First Fleet. Our homeworld must be safer than this place. Ah, shit. My parents took offense at my mother-in-law's disparaging remark about this place. My parents, of course, wanted their daughter and their grandchildren to live on Earth, not some crude backwater colony world. Which planet to live on had been an ongoing issue during our marriage, or I should say it was an issue for her parents. Margaret loved Jaguar. She knew my job was there, or my job used to be there. She had a job she loved, far from Marine Corps headquarters, so the Marines at Jaguar Base had a lot more freedom and a lot less fewer bureaucrats looking over their shoulders. Her mother tried to apologize, but words can't be unsaid. Things got frosty after that, and as we were cleaning up dishes, Margaret gave me the look and crooked a finger at me. Outside in the garden, she spun toward me.
What was that? I was trying to help you break the news to your family.
My family was now her family also. I didn't take offense. I knew what she meant. Sorry. There's been a development. A good one. Recent. Just before I put the biscuits in the oven. Then there wasn't time to tell you.
If something is important, you make time. You know that. You could have sent me a text.
You're right. My bad. I didn't expect you to... I should have known you wouldn't leave it all on me to tell my folks. The tightness around her eyes softened.
How good is this news,
if I'm cleared to know? Right now it is potentially good news. Should be solid. We have more time, maybe a lot more.
Maybe?
She lifted an eyebrow.
Or shmaybe.
Both. Skippy is working on... She pressed a finger to my lips.
I probably don't have a need to know. Honey, how about you save the galaxy and I'll try to diffuse tension between our parents?
Wow, I am so getting the better part of that bargain.